Welcome to this October 22nd edition of Talk of the Rock. I'm your host, Kavitha George, and with me today are some folks from Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center here to talk about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Would you mind introducing yourselves?
I'm Amber Frederick.
And I'm Elamie Tiller, and we're outreach advocates at the Women's Resource Center.
So how did you both get involved working at KWRCC?
I started working there about 6 or 7 months ago. I'd been working with kids at the Baptist Mission for about 10 years, and I was looking to do something else, but I wanted to make sure that it was something that was going to help people in our community that were needing help, and that seemed like a really good fit. So,
Amber?
Yeah, and I had been working in human services with a handful of different agencies in the community, doing case management, and with every client that I worked with, the barriers that they were having to getting on their feet and being successful were these immense histories of trauma. I just became really acutely aware of the amount of trauma that people are carrying with them and the lack of support for that in the community. So when this position opened up, it seemed like a really natural fit.
And for people who might not be aware, tell us what Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center is.
Well, first and foremost, we are a domestic violence shelter, so women who are in dangerous relationships can come and stay with us and have a safe place to be while they try to figure out their next steps. But we're also a resource center, and so we can, whether clients need to come and stay with us or not, we can still help them with a lot of things.
We're domestic violence and sexual assault.
Yes.
Shelter. So we provide safe shelter, but we also work with, many non-resident clients that need support navigating the legal system, that may need help attaining their own housing out in the community. We help get them connected to all sorts of different programs that can help them establish themselves on their own safely.
Yeah. And we work really closely with the police department and the state troopers and the district attorney's office. We work with CANA and SHUNAC and Providence and the counseling center and a bunch of other service agencies in town to help and make sure that our clients can get hooked up with all the services in the community that they might need.
So for someone who doesn't know whether they fit into the scope of KWRCC's client base, I guess, who would be accepted?
We'll help pretty much anybody that comes and asks for help. Our mission is specifically, for people who need safety. That's our main priority is to provide people with safety and ways to either a safe place to be or a way to make where they are safe. But there's so many steps to that. So whatever kind of part of the path you might be on, like we will work with you wherever you are.
Everything from immediate safety in the moment to creating a safe life for yourself.
Yeah, if that's getting you hooked up with counseling or housing or the food bank or whatever people need, helping them apply for childcare assistance, and we can especially we do a lot of work helping people with legal proceedings. Like getting protective orders, or if they have, cases, we can help them kind of get hooked up with whatever services they need for that and kind of support them emotionally through that process because it's pretty hard.
Sure, yeah.
We forgot about the outreach department.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Elamie
That's our job.
Our job is to go into the community and we give presentations. We do prevention work. We get into the schools and talk about we just presented recently on teen dating violence. We talk about healthy relationships. We travel out to all of our tribal villages on the island here and give presentations there and help make sure everyone's aware of the services that are available here in Kodiak. So we also do all the outreach and prevention work.
Exactly. Speaking of which, we have some important things coming up pretty soon here on Friday. At 5:30 at St. James the Fisherman Church, we have a prayer service to remember and honor Alaskans who've been been killed by domestic violence or sexual assault, which is followed by a delicious dinner and our annual meeting. And that's open to the public, so anybody that wants to come is more than welcome. If you have any questions about that, you can call us at 486-6171, and we'll give you all that you need to know.
Amber, you mentioned non-residents. Mm-hmm. Would those be folks from the villages or?
There are people in the community that don't necessarily need safe shelter. They might have a friend or family member to stay with, or maybe their perpetrator is in jail or off island even potentially, but they still need support navigating the legal system or connecting with whatever services they might need. Really, the job of an advocate, you know, it isn't to have all the answers for them, but to sit with them and be their safe person through the process. You know, having a person that you know sees you and hears you and believes you at your side when you go to court can be really empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, even if you're not going to go to court.
Right, right.
Just
yeah.
Having, just having somebody that knows what you're going through and has your back.
Yeah. So October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I know that the Borough Assembly had made a proclamation recognizing that. So could you share with us what do we know about domestic violence here in Kodiak or even nationwide?
The statistics in Alaska for almost all the bad things lead the nation. We're the state where more women are murdered by men than any other state. We lead the state for domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse. We lead the nation, rather. Here in Kodiak, 38% of women report having experienced intimate partner violence, which is a narrower category of domestic violence. You know, that's violence that they've experienced from someone they either are or have been intimate with.
Which means that at least one in three women in Kodiak have had this experience, which means that in almost any group of people you are in or around, there are people who have been hurt and people who have been scared. And you might not know. It's not like they're walking around with big signs. But it's a thing to kind of keep in mind that you're surrounded by people who have experienced a lot of really hard and horrible things.
Yeah. And that's, I think, definitely a lot more than people realize and gets talked about. And we should also say that that number is even higher for Alaska Native women. And I'm assuming that applies to Kodiak as well. Are there systemic reasons why Native women are more affected by domestic violence, whether it's a lack of investigation or inability of tribes to prosecute the offenders?
Well, the geography is a huge problem. Having access to law enforcement, there's very little law enforcement in the remote villages. You know, and in a teensy, tiny community, it's really hard for people to come forward and talk about. You know, an issue like this can divide an entire community. So it's really hard for people to get the support they need. You know, victims of domestic and sexual violence have to come to town to report and to attend any court proceedings. If there's evidence that needs collected, that has to be done here in town, which can be more traumatic for people.
So let's say a woman in one of the villages is assaulted. She would have to come to Kodiak to both report her crime and to be tested for whatever would need to be tested for?
Yeah, she could report to the, if there is a VPSO, if there is law enforcement in that village, she could report there. But if there's evidence that needs to be gathered, that has to usually be done here in town. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's a major barrier.
Yeah, to make a real case, they would need to come to town.
Just in terms of transportation costs or weather getting here.
Yeah, and the extra emotional weight of whatever problem that might create in their family or.
Yeah. Yeah. And we should say that while women are more likely to be affected by domestic violence, it is an issue that affects men too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So getting help in itself, I imagine, is a really hard thing to do. What are resources that are available either at KWRCC or elsewhere in the community that, that help lower that barrier?
Okay, sorry. So getting help, you're talking about the healing process after?
Like after having experienced that kind of violence, then going out and having to tell someone else about it so that you can get yourself help.
Yeah, I really think that this is a conversation that needs to be more normalized. I think that people need to be freer to talk about what they've experienced. Obviously, no one should ever be called out or like asked to tell their story, but there aren't many places where people feel safe to talk about what they've lived through. And the more times somebody shies away or jumps back when you start to talk about your trauma, the less likely you are to ever bring it up again, and people just continue to carry it by themselves. So I really think that having a safe place to talk about it is a very important first step. Talking with advocates, we've just started a support group in the community for people. It's just a peer-based support group where victims can come together and talk about what's helped them get through stuff. You know, definitely connecting with a counselor and having that safe place to go talk. Sometimes it's hard to talk to your friends and loved ones because it hurts them too. You know, a lot of victims will leave out some of the hard stuff because they know how painful it is for their loved ones to hear about it. But those loved ones are the safe people that they could talk to. Or sometimes those loved ones can't hear it or they aren't super supportive. So creating more community space where people are safe to own their stories and supported by the people they're talking to, I think is really crucial.
And I think that's why we encourage people as much as possible to come and see us. All of our advocates have a lot of training on just kind of, you know, how to listen and how to be supportive, which, you know, seems like it shouldn't be that hard, but there's really good listening and then there's not as helpful listening, and I think we practice really good listening, and so we are safe people to talk to. We have really high confidentiality standards, so you can come and you can tell us anything and we aren't going to tell anyone or not going to even let anyone know that we know you unless you want us to. That's really important to us. So if someone needs to come in and share something, they don't have to worry that we're going to go out and the word's going to get around to anyone else, because we're not going to do that.
Yeah. I also feel like maybe this doesn't get talked about enough, but domestic violence doesn't just necessarily affect the one person who's being abused. Like it could impact an entire family that way.
Absolutely. Kids who grow up in a family and witness domestic violence are generally, you can't really compare traumas, but like they have more stacked against them than kids who are actually abused themselves even. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to protect, you know, to protect your families, and to, you know, we'll help you find a safe way to keep your kids safe.
Does KWRCC work with children in any way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Moms can bring their children to stay if they need. I mean, we accept families. Mm-hmm. And then we work to get them connected with whatever kind of resources they're going to need.
Yeah.
For therapy and, you know, mm-hmm. treatment afterward.
Right. And I suppose the recovery process, you can't really compare between people, but it's not something that you get over in a short amount of time. And then there's lasting effects like PTSD and things like that.
Generally speaking, yeah.
Yeah, healing is definitely not a linear process and it's not very measurable and it's very different for everyone. I mean, you know, I recently met somebody who was just now processing a 20-year-old trauma. She had locked it away and she was totally reasonably okay for a very long time. Thought she had dealt with it and It was still there waiting.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And so often, so many of our clients, it's not just that they have one bad relationship. It might be that, you know, they have a whole string of them, or it might be that they also have mental health issues or substance abuse issues that also they're trying to deal with at the same time, which just can make things really challenging, which is why we're so grateful that we have good community partners. But yeah, so it means that the healing process and recovery isn't going to be a quick fix. People are complicated, so it's always going to be complicated.
Are there things that you've learned since becoming outreach advisors for KWRCC that have surprised you?
Honestly, I think just the scope of this problem has been shocking to me kind of consistently. Like, I know it's happening. I know people that it's happened to, but I don't think I understood how many. And I knew it was a big problem, but it's such a big problem. And that breaks my heart a little bit.
In Kodiak, you mean?
In Kodiak and in everywhere, but especially in Kodiak. I mean, I love this community. This is a good place, and it's happening too much. And so, you know, yeah, that's really hard.
I think I was surprised by the number of people that experience this kind of violence repeatedly because of what that first trauma can do to you and your self-value and your empowerment. And then I was really surprised how many teenagers raised their hands when we were asking questions about, have you seen a friend experience this kind of dating violence, that kind of dating violence? There were a lot of kids in the high school who, you know, I wasn't asking them, have you experienced, but many, many kids have witnessed it in their friends' relationships. So I think we've got great kids here. We definitely have amazing kids here. But even in a community like this, we're seeing that these patterns are starting young.
Yeah, can you talk about that a bit more? Like, are they things that people or that they personally don't think is like a big deal, but could really be indicative of something
more?
Yeah,
so some
of
the warning flags, you know, some of the examples. Have you experienced or witnessed one partner trying to control what the other partner wears? Have you experienced a couple where one always does all the talking? Or the other one seems uncomfortable to talk in front of their partner. They always needing to check in. I'm not sure I have to check with my partner to see if I can do that. Text harassment, constantly wanting somebody to answer to them. You know, where are you? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? You know, those things don't leave bruises or break arms, but they create a powerful control dynamic.
And I think that's something that a lot of people might not understand, is that domestic violence involves sometimes bruises or broken bones, but mostly it's about a pattern of power and control where one person is consistently controlling the other person and the way their life should go and how they want them to be and kind of taking away their agency and their freedoms. So you might not always see a black eye. That doesn't mean there's not something dangerous going on. I mean, there's all kinds of abuse. There's physical abuse, but there's also emotional and verbal and mental and obviously sexual abuse. But they don't all leave marks that you can see on the outside.
Sure. And those kinds of warning flags, when you see them in a relationship that you are in, or if you notice them in a friend or loved ones, what do you recommend that people do?
I think if you're concerned about a friend, you know, ask non-judgmental questions. It's really hard, you know, if the person does answer, yeah, I'm feeling disempowered, I'm feeling a little controlled. You know, our instincts with people we care about is to direct them to get out of that relationship, get out.
Yeah.
But oftentimes what that will create is a dynamic where that person won't talk to you anymore about what's really going on. So, you know, just asking questions and creating a safe place for that person to talk about it until they come up with the answer for themselves, because they're the one that knows when and how to get out.
And getting out can be really difficult and really dangerous. One of the most dangerous times for a person is when they are trying to leave or have just left their partner. And so it's not as simple as just leaving.
Right.
Which is, you know, what we all want to happen. But that's not always helpful advice.
I also feel like that's sort of amplified when you live in an island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you can't just, like, drive somewhere else.
You can't just move a couple of towns over.
Right. I think always if you're identifying that a friend is having problematic patterns in a relationship, advise them to reach out and talk to somebody, because it can sometimes be hard and embarrassing to talk to a friend or family member about it. We have 24-hour crisis lines, one for adults and one for teens, where it's anonymous. We tell kids, the first thing we tell them is first names only, you know, for anonymity, so that they don't have to worry about getting in trouble or getting somebody else in trouble, because that's a big worry for kids.
Where we can talk about their options and what they might want to do without having to commit to anything, which is really important. And that's true for adults too. Like, we'll help you figure out what you can do. We're never going to tell anybody what they have to do.
Right.
No, that's not our job. Our job is to let people make their own choices and to support them through that.
And, like, give them or educate them about their options.
Exactly.
And then let them
help people understand what they can choose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you are afraid for someone, listen to them and believe them, and then tell them to call us. That's our job.
Yeah. What changes would you like to see in the community to help decrease instances of domestic violence and sexual assault?
My vision for Kodiak. I would like to see people that are safer and more insulated from this kind of violence talking about it more, showing more sensitivity, learning more, acknowledging more the scope of this problem. There's really, like, no way to describe how empowering it is for a victim when they hear a stranger speak up about an issue that's harmed them. You know, when you realize that person has no claim in this fight whatsoever and they just spoke up about something that hurt me, especially when it's something you've been carrying secretly for so long. I want to see these issues talked about more, because it is really serious.
When you say a safer and more insulated person, you mean, like, someone who's not going through it?
Folks that are, or less vulnerable to it.
Sure. Emily, did you have something to add?
No, I mean, I think that's really good. And I think we are really lucky here in Kodiak, because we have a place where the Women's Resource Center does have good relationships with other service organizations in our community. And that's kind of rare in America. And honestly, other women's shelters and domestic violence centers in Alaska look to the KWRCC for new policies and procedures, and for ways to work better in their own communities. So we're really lucky to have a really strong resource available here. And there's always ways to make it stronger and better, and, you know, and we're working hard on that. But I think what Amber said, you know, just getting the community to realize that this is a big thing, and it's happening a lot, and we want to have a good, safe community. I think we all can agree on that. And so figuring out ways as a community to support people is so important. And personally, you know, in my own speech and actions to be sensitive and to be aware.
What are some of the partner organizations that you guys work with?
We work with Kanna and the Shunack tribe, Providence Counseling Center, and
KCHC, the KPD and the state troopers and the DA.
We also coordinate with the Coast Guard advocacy team.
I know that there's some we're forgetting. But those are the big ones. And the Child Advocacy Center.
Yeah, and I imagine that level of communication really helps to make sure that people are getting the resources that are specifically tailored to what they need.
Yeah. We have a pretty solid, what's it, community coordinated response team.
Yep.
That's mostly all of those organizations, and they get together pretty regularly and make sure that they're all not letting anybody drop through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really encouraging to see that kind of collaboration where all these agencies are really concerned with making sure that their clients are getting everything they need.
Yeah.
And kind of putting clients first. It's really amazing and impressive.
So what can folks who want to get involved do?
It's a great question. We're always looking for volunteers for all kinds of things. And we accept donations of pretty much any kind. We're always looking for things like women's and kids' clothes, coats and shoes and all that kind of stuff, especially. But we also need things like toilet paper for the shelter and cereal and eggs, really basic groceries. And especially with the holidays coming up, we're going to start reaching out for, you know, people who want to donate Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinners and Christmas presents for kids. We want to make sure that all of our clients have a really fabulous holidays the best we can. So we're always looking for that kind of things. We have a donation room where it's kind of like a thrift store, but anybody can just come and pick out what they need and it doesn't cost them any money. So if people need clothes or whatever, household goods, we've got that. So we're always looking for donations of that kind of stuff. Am I forgetting anything?
We also accept cash.
Oh, yes. We will not turn that out either.
It's the season of giving right around the corner here. just understanding our services, learning more about the issue, spending some time reading and learning about this problem in Alaska.
And helping get the word out about how we can help people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Thanks. And your upcoming prayer vigil is on Friday.
Friday at 5:30 p.m. at St. James the Fisherman Church.
Along with the annual meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Elmi and Amber, for being here. I know this is a heavy topic, but I think it's something that's incredibly important for our community to be aware of.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm Kavitha George. Join us again next week for Talk of the Rock.